When you hear the name Sedona, you undoubtedly think about a place with some good hiking spots and restaurants and red rocks and a vortex or two. But the city got its name at the turn of the 20th century from one of its residents, Sedona Schnebley. The new book, The Journal of Sedona Schnebley, was written by her great-granddaughter, Lisa Schnebley Heidinger.
The rocks seemed more three-dimensional than things back home. Then everywhere that wasn't taken up by those endless variations of stone was filled, festooned, decorated by green-growing things, and laid over all was the music of the water. Whatever fatigue remained was replaced by energy. I felt healed of some miasma I hadn't known I had. I was galvanized, grateful, and ready to begin.
Lisa, thanks for reading that. Now, let's revisit your direct connection to Sedona Schnebley.
Sedona Schnebley was my great-grandmother, and her husband came out with, actually 2 weeks ahead of her, but they came out together basically in 1901, settled in Oak Creek on 80 acres, and he named the first post office, ergo the town, after her.
So how did the name Sedona come to her parents?
The classic family line is, her mama just made it up. I have wondered over the years, because apparently there is a Creole French name, Sedoni, S-E-D-O-N-I-E, if maybe her mother just outside St. Louis, Missouri, heard that, and it lodged in her brain, and she adapted it.
To consider the impact of what Sedona means to people now, and when you consider the history that you've looked into, it's amazing how interspersed everything is, but thinking back to 1901 and thinking about what Sedona is now, what did you discover about the advances that what people perceive as Sedona and how it was in the early 20th century?
I think it's impossible unless you live in Arizona to realize how truly recent history is here. If she came out in 1901, Missouri had gas lamps. They were not far from getting automobiles. They had doctors, dress designers, you name it. And then you come here, and if there were five families in all of Oak Creek, it gets so dark there at night, even now. And my daughter, who we named Sedona, was with me recently when we were driving at night, and I said, it gets so dark here. And she pinpointed it. She said, it's like you're on a ship on the ocean at night. You don't know where the horizon is. And so to picture living there where there are no lights, I think I would have been nervous, possibly for years at night, because it got so dark here.
So what is it like, both creatively and spiritually, to channel this and to think about what this important person was and to try to, based on your family knowledge, based on research, but also based on just feel, what was that like as a creative person to put that together?
Unlike anything I've ever done before. I don't know if you've ever had anybody take a nasal swab, but it reaches almost into your brain and you think, I've never felt anything in that part of my body before. To write about her and to feel the stories come out, and then, I'm not saying it was a fugue state, but I would definitely finish writing and think, wow, how about that? Over and over and over again. I had planned to do it my whole life since I was in my early 20s. I had written 33,000 savable words or adaptable words when I started this about a year ago. And in 3 months, it grew to 107,000. It just came out. And I guess the longer something is seeping through the limestone of our brain and percolating and maybe fermenting and whatever else, it gets more gelled. But it just, I honestly felt like I learned things, Steve, writing it.
What made her a special person?
I think she had to have a stronger spirit of adventure than her early years would have indicated. To be a little girl in Gorin, Missouri, and go to the academy and learn elocution lessons and things, and then to turn your back on all of that and follow this man that you love out, marry him on your 20th birthday, and be willing to say goodbye to china closets and calling cards and corsets and everything else that back east held, and figure out at a very young age, I mean, from where I am, 22 is young, how to navigate an unspoiled wilderness, admittedly beautiful, but also lacking things. The first line of the book is, when I first saw the place that now shares my name, all I wanted to do was be somewhere else. Not that it wasn't lovely, she goes on to say, but I've been on a train for 4 days with a one-year-old and a three-year-old, and we're dirty and exhausted. There are no lights. There's no welcoming fire. There's a tent house. How many wilderness animals? All we have is Carl and his rifle, and just the sense of overwhelmed fatigue and desolation. Mm-hmm. She does the next morning go outside, look around, and feel really excited and knows herself fortunate to be in such a place.
How important do you think this story is in terms of telling sort of the broader state of what Arizona was before it was a state, and then as it came to grow? I mean, even as just one key example, if we were just to zoom down and say, this teaches us more about what Arizona was and what it became.
I think that the only reason her story is any more memorable than any other woman's pioneer story in Arizona is that now people go and they think, Sedona, either what funny name is that or who was she? Mm-hmm. And so because people are interested in what it was like for pioneer women at the turn of the 20th century, there's an opportunity to maybe tell all of their stories in some ways, and hers specifically. And certainly, one chapter that made me tired to write was when she was pregnant with her third child and how she would never let herself think that she deserves any particular break. But if another woman had gotten up, gotten the fire going, swept out the ashes, started the toast, turned it in time, gotten the children ready, fed the chickens, you know, before 7 a.m., I would think her day well begun, she says. And the amount of sheer work that would have taken is, I learned a lot writing that.
Lisa Schnebly-Heidinger is the author of the new book, The Journal of Sedona Schnebly, about her great-grandparents. Lisa, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.